Beirut, Lebanon, June 18, 2005. Over 4 months since the assassination of former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafik Hariri, Lebanon is undergoing major political change. Hariri's assassination sparked large-scale demonstrations which erupted in downtown Beirut in the days after the bomb blast which took Hariri's life. A key focus of many of the street demonstrations was mounting pressure on Lebanon's neighbor, Syria, to end its military and intelligence presence in the country, a demand which was eventually won in April 2005 through popular street actions and international pressure, which saw the end of the presence of tens of thousands of Syrian troops in the country that had remained in Lebanon since the end of the 15-year civil war in 1990. These demonstrations took place in the shadow of Hariri's assassination, which some in Lebanon blamed on Syria, while many remained publicly skeptical of any Syrian involvement in the bombing. I had the opportunity to speak with David Barsamian, founder of Alternative Radio in the United States, an alternative progressive radio program broadcast throughout the world. Barsamian, who traveled to Beirut in the months after Hariri's death, offers his reflections on the current political situation in the country.
I'm David Barsamian of Alternative Radio, which is an independent progressive audio service based in Boulder, Colorado. I've been involved in community radio since 1978, and I've been distributing my weekly 1 hour all over the United States, Canada, Australia, South Africa, and other countries since 1986. The former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafik Hariri was assassinated on the 14th of February, not very far from where we're sitting, actually, here in Beirut, right in front of the St. George Hotel. Hariri was credited for many people for being responsible for a lot of the reconstruction, particularly of downtown Beirut. He became Prime Minister in the early 1990s, and he served in that position for well over a decade. He benefited enormously from very questionable land deals where he was able to secure some of the most valuable real estate anywhere in the world, in downtown Beirut, at literally bargain basement prices. I say that because immediately after the assassination, all commentary and all focus was directed towards Syria. Hariri was a billionaire, a multi-billionaire, one of the richest men in the world. He made a fortune in Saudi Arabia in construction. And then when he came to Lebanon, he built on that wealth. And again, I say that because people who make a lot of money, and when they make a lot of money in some perhaps shady circumstances in terms of getting cheap deals, they generate also enemies. So while everyone points to Syria, it's not at all clear that Syria actually assassinated Hariri. If you were to say who benefited from the assassination, you couldn't say that Syria got anything out of it. In fact, it got almost immediate international opprobrium, condemnation from the United States, from France, from a lot of elements aligned with those countries. All fingers were pointed at Syria. That being said, what happened to trigger the events that followed were a series of large demonstrations, which I think reflect a couple of things. Repulsion and horror at the assassination, but also a lot of frustration and venting spleen toward the Syrians. Syrian troops had been in Lebanon since 1976. They were invited in, actually by the Arab League. And curiously, and very few people recall this, they came into Lebanon to fight the PLO and to protect the Maronite Christians, the Falangists, who later were to, in a series of convoluted reversals of alliances, were later to become actually the adversaries of the Syrians. So they had been in the country since 1976. No one likes to be occupied. I traveled around in the Baqa Valley particularly, and there were Syrian roadblocks everywhere, and you had to stop and show your, you know, your ID. And I'm sure that must have grated on Lebanese nationals of all political stripes, or many political stripes. So the Hariri assassination then served as a catalyst for a couple of things, to generate popular support for the removal of Syrian troops, but also to, coincidentally, to advance a U.S. agenda in the region. The United States is extremely hostile toward Syria. It has passed, this is not known to a lot of Americans, very punitive sanctions against Syria, with the usual over-the-top majorities in the House and the Senate. And Syria has been blamed for the insurgency in Iraq. It's considered by the United States as a destabilizing force in the region. Well, what does that mean in Orwellian newspeak? Destabilizing means not going along with U.S. desires in the region. Syria also has close ties with Hezbollah, which is an indigenous Lebanese Shia-based resistance movement. But it's not just a military formation, I must say. It is also a political organization, and it provides a myriad of social services to the largely impoverished Shia population of southern Lebanon, which now probably accounts for about 40% of the total population of the country. So simply to talk about Hezbollah as an instrument of military power, this kind of a renegade, you know, group of fighters, is misleading, because it's much more than that. And the U.S. conveniently just occludes that information from any discussion. So the demonstrations, coupled with pressure from France and the United States, and I think also Syria had enough. You know, they don't want to stay in a country where they're particularly not wanted. And by the end of April, they had withdrawn all of their military forces from Lebanon. Perhaps the key event chronologically was the passing of a resolution pushed by the United States and France, in which Hariri was instrumental in writing and getting French support, in particularly Jacques Chirac, was UN Resolution 1559, which calls for the withdrawal of not only all Syrian forces in Lebanon, but also the dismantling, disarming of the Hezbollah military wing, and also all non-Lebanese military formations. Well, who's that? Well, that's the Palestinians in the various camps, who do have weapons that they perceive, based on past history in this country, they need to defend themselves. There was a major massacre in 1982, and that's called Sabra and Shatila, in which perhaps 1,800 Palestinians were killed. So 1559 was the instrument for which the U.S. rode this Trojan horse into Lebanon, and it is using its code words of democracy and freedom to extend not only its hegemony over Lebanon, but also to affect regime change in Syria.
You were in Lebanon March, April. Can you describe some of the demonstrations that you saw in a way after Hariri's assassination all the demonstrations in Lebanon and the political movement that was happening at the time was presented mainly in mainstream media and major media outlets in North America and Western Europe as anti-Syrian demonstrations, demonstrations against the Syrian troop presence that you went into detail about. That was not the case. It wasn't only these demonstrations that took place to call for the Syrian withdrawal. It's much more muddled than that. So maybe can you talk about some of the other actions that were happening on the streets and the various facets of the Lebanese population's reaction to Hariri's assassination?
On 8 March, there was one of the largest demonstrations ever seen in Lebanon. It was Hezbollah turning out in opposition to 1559 and in support of Syria, but also, it must be said, condemning unequivocally the assassination of Hariri and Sheikh Hassan Nasrullah, who is a Sayyid, which means a direct descendant of the Prophet. He is the Secretary General of Hezbollah. He's a very charismatic speaker. I don't speak Arabic well enough to understand the nuances, but apparently he lapses into the argot, into vernacular, and people just love it. They eat it up. He's very talented. He's very gifted and very eloquent and articulate. And so he also called for an absolute investigation into who is responsible for Hariri's assassination. I saw on CNN the particular coverage of that, and it was described as mostly Syrians in the audience of at least 500,000, maybe more. That was on the 8th of March. I doubt that there were busloads of Syrians, you know, trucked in from Damascus or Aleppo or any of the other cities in Syria. It's very unlikely. The eyewitnesses said they were mostly local people. There were also many demonstrations at the American Embassy in Alker, which is just north of the city, a heavily fortified and defended compound. There are concentric circles of barbed wire and barricades and concrete blocks and then various types of troops. From local police to Lebanese National Army, and then finally on the rooftops, U.S. Marines in civilian clothes but with short hair and beefy looking, and they couldn't be anyone else but Marines. They were not, as far as I know, ever mentioned, those demonstrations at outside the U.S. Embassy, demanding that the U.S. not interfere in Lebanese internal affairs. They were saying, Lebanon for Lebanon. We want to find out who killed Hariri. Let us find out. Don't use his death as a bludgeon, as a tool to justify your intervention in the country. At around the same time, a very high State Department official came to Beirut, and I was here. His name is David Satterfield, Assistant Secretary of State for Middle Eastern Affairs. And he was, like a lot of these U.S. Diplomats, treating people as if they were school children, giving out grades, giving report cards. You know, you're doing very well, son. Keep up the good work. You're not doing well enough. We're watching what you're doing. We want you to improve. You know, this, it's extremely arrogant behavior, and it's very much resented by people. And I've seen this in various countries, the kind of response to this very neo-colonial kind of British headmaster attitude that these diplomats present. And Satterfield said in one press conference that the United States is totally against anyone interfering in the internal affairs of a sovereign state. Okay, so this is, you know, a laudable comment, certainly one to be emulated and admired. Of course, the problem is that the United States does not have a good track record in terms of non-intervention in the internal affairs of sovereign states. So Al-Manar, which is the Hezbollah-controlled television station, took that clip Very clever. They took Satterfield's clip and they made a loop of it. That means that they kept repeating, you kept seeing the same image and hearing the comments over and over again, while in the background you could see U.S. troops in Afghanistan and operating in Iraq, in the Gulf, and many other countries. And that was playing in the background while Satterfield's words about non-interference in the internal affairs of sovereign states was being played over and over again. I thought that was a very clever use of the media.
You have been listening to an interview with David Barsamian, founder of Alternative Radio in the United States, a progressive radio program which broadcasts throughout the world. This interview focused on the current political situation in Lebanon, a country which saw the assassination of a former prime minister and major political figure, Rafik Hariri, in February 2005. Hariri's assassination sparked major demonstrations which erupted in downtown Beirut in the days after the bomb blast which took the former Lebanese prime minister's life. A key focus of many of the street demonstrations was mounting pressure on Lebanon's neighbor, Syria, to end its military and intelligence presence in the country, a demand which was eventually won in April 2005 through popular street actions and international pressure, which saw the end of the presence of tens of thousands of Syrian troops in the country that had remained in Lebanon since the end of the 15-year civil war in 1990. These demonstrations took place in the shadow of Hariri's assassination, which some in Lebanon blamed on Syria, while others remained publicly skeptical of any Syrian involvement in the assassination. For more information on the current political situation in Lebanon, visit the Beirut Indie Media Center at www.beirut.indymedia.org. That's beirut.indymedia.org. For more information on David Barsamian and Alternative Radio, visit www.alternativeradio.org. That's www.alternativeradio.org. This interview was recorded and produced in Beirut, Lebanon, for CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stefan Christophe.